And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that time, yours.
Well, we did it. We, this podcast, kept the Chiefs from being so heavily jinxed that the Jets could have kept it close. It didn't happen. Frankly, I don't know how powerful we think we are as a podcast, but I think we would have had to have literally never said in the history of the podcast the words New York Jets for that amount of sort of reverse energy to actually harm the Chiefs today. I think for the most part, they were largely impenetrable because the Jets are exactly as bad as we all thought they were. Welcome to Time Czars. The Chiefs beat the Jets. This is the podcast about it. I'm Joshua Briscoe, Nate Taylor, Seth Kaiser. One of you, talk now.
Yes, it was a joyous day at Arrowhead Stadium with people not really cheering at all because everybody knew the Jets are terrible. And within one possession of this football game, I tweeted, wow. So, yeah, the Jets really are this bad, huh? And then everybody proceeded to say yes.
Seth, that seemed like generally your vibe also, is that they were, in fact, that bad.
They were so bad. So I told you guys before we recorded that I had Charles McDonald, who covers the Jets and the Giants, which, I mean, talk about an awful beat.
Yeah, that's tough.
Right?
Yeah.
Wait, how he had said to me that he thought if the Chiefs played a B-plus game, they'd win by 40.
Uh-huh.
You could convince me the Chiefs didn't even play a B-plus game because there were like four drives where it's like, oh, dang, man, they left a little meat on the bone there.
Yeah.
And they still won by like almost 30.
They covered the spread. They covered the spread. Like, yo.
It's like, it was just interesting, and it was a good opportunity to like really reflect on where the Chiefs are, because people like to talk about the Chiefs played out of competition, that they this, that, and the other thing. I would just say it's really hard to win games in the NFL, but the Chiefs are just really, really good, and the Jets are really, really bad. And it was so obvious from the first drive, like you said. And, like, the Jets put up a little bit of a fight. They were respectable for a bit. You know, it's like, we're going to score these field goals, you know? that'll keep us in this game.
That'll do it, probably, sure.
And the funny thing is for me, sometimes, and, you know, the Chiefs did it to themselves. Sometimes I wish Andy Reid was just a little more of a killer. Because, man, I want Mahomes to throw for, like, 700 yards in one of these games.
Tommy Townsend throw the football. Like, I don't want to totally undercut you, but that did happen, and that was weird.
Yeah, that was, like, it's like they used this game to get stuff on film. Like, yeah. Am I wrong? Like, it's like, we're going to show some other teams some stuff. Like, the opposite of what people normally accuse Reid of. So, it was a great game in the sense that the Chiefs looked good in all phases. Had a few hiccups on defense early on. I'm not thrilled with the pass rush, but, I mean, overall, I mean, they're so much better. The Chiefs are the best team in the league, and the Jets are the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure I've ever seen a game where that chasm was so vast.
Yeah.
Well,
Nate, I'll kick it back to you on this, but one thing to what Seth pointed out there, like, we can nitpick stuff here, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of things to go over in that regard. But the one thing coming out of this game that I kind of had a moment of thinking, like, well, what can we take away from Chiefs Jets? Because it was like the best team in the league versus the worst, or at the absolute least, the second versus 31st or something. And I think it was 1-32. But like, that was a conversation we had. That had circled around, you know, the idea of the Chiefs playing down to their competition or
right.
whatever. If they would have done anything other than win this game by 26 points, we would have been like, oh man, that was, you know, they kind of let them hang around. And I mean, they kind of did with a bunch of field goals until they didn't anymore. And Patrick Mahomes was just dropping bombs from the, you know, top of a
plane? Fighter plane? What was I looking for there? What was a stealth bomber? I was looking for stealth bomber. I had a picture of a stealth bomber in my head and no words to go with him.
Yeah.
I could have said a jet. I also could have just said dropping bombs from a jet, and that would have been funnier and more concise. But, like, they won in dominating fashion.
Right.
Oh, we're bored by it, I guess.
I'm not bored. I would just say a couple things. One, based on Pro Football Reference, the Chiefs today are just the fourth team since 1978 to actually cover when favored by 19.5 points. So, you know, it speaks to both the Chiefs and the Jets today. The second thing is, I didn't see anything today from the press box where, you know, obviously it's live, all 22. I didn't see anything that was like, wow, that's a new wrinkle by Steve Spagnuolo. I feel like they were just like, here the playbook. Don't mess up your assignment. We'll win by a billion. For people who may be like, man, I wish the Divas would have played well. Like, they didn't do anything exotic to my eyes live, where it's like, oh, that may look like an all-out blitz, but like, they've shown that before, and if it's not, cool. If it is, great. But like, I didn't see anything that was like new. I know some people are like, where in the world is Willie Gay? It's a bye week, guys. Like, they just gave him a bye week. Same with, like, you know, Sammy Watkins and Mitchell Schwartz, right? I mean, it's essentially a bye week. Clyde Edwards-Helaire got like a mini bye week.
Yeah.
The bigger point in all of this is, and I wrote this in The Athletic, no matter the opponent, Patrick Mahomes will give you no mercy.
Mm-hmm.
He, listen to me, ladies and gentlemen, we are halfway through the season. At the halfway point of the Run It Back campaign, Patrick Mahomes is unequivocally the league MVP right now. It's a wrap. It doesn't matter if it's the Ravens. It doesn't matter if it's the Chargers with a Bosa and a cover three defense. It doesn't matter if it's the Jets. This dude is better than everybody else. And some of the throws that he made today are going to be on the mixtape highlight, but it's a lot like, man, I don't know. Is that the Washington Generals on the field, or is that the New York? Oh, that's the New York Jets. But still, he's precise at just knifing you all over the field. There's only two statistics that matter other than the 7-1 record. It's 23 total touchdowns. It's one turnover. One turnover!
It's unbelievable.
Holy
in
crap.
Eight games where they pass the football a billion times. One?
That's such a good point. Mahomes is just absurdly efficient. And I think what we got a chance to see today, and a few people were talking about, you know, Greg Williams and what he might do, which, hey, shout out to you, Greg Williams. I only saw like two blatantly cheap looking shots. So,
And one that got called was a brushing of Patrick Mahomes' face mask, which,
yeah, that one was bad. The one where they tried to tear Bell's ACL, I thought was worse.
That one seemed worse to me, yeah.
Yeah, like a lot where it's like, oh man, that dude's been holed up. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna dive at his left kneecap.
Yeah.
Just to see. With Mahomes, so this was a teams have been playing the Chiefs differently this year. It's something everyone's talking about. You're seeing a lot more backpedaling at the snap, you're seeing a lot more two-man safeties. Or even when teams are playing, you know, cover three or single high with man coverage, they're shading to one side or the other. They're providing a lot of help, right? And I think you saw what happens. Like, you've got some defenses have really good personnel, like say like the Chargers, that might be able to do some things to try to match up with the Chiefs. Maybe like the Buccaneers, they're an interesting team, although I don't know if they've got the horses on the back end, but like their linebackers and everything, really, really good defense. The Jets don't have the horses, right? And so what teams that don't have that personnel, they've been kind of cheating, like the Bills or the Broncos. You know what I mean? Like, okay, we're going to send everyone deep and hope that Mahomes just doesn't get bored. Or maybe he does get bored, just dinking and dunking. The Jets, instead, they kind of went a little bit Baltimore Ravens in like, well, that's not what we do. We're going to do what we do. And it's just like, you know, when Mahomes, when he, what? How did Kevin Harlan phrase it? Invested in Rolex?
Yes. Because he was, because he was calling, or that's the thing about an ad with Rolex, because he was calling Rolex.
Hey, you Pepper, yeah. Kelsey, everybody else Rolex.
And that was awesome. Kevin Harlan, I wish he could call every Chiefs game on television, because it's amazing every time. So the Jets apparently on 3rd and 5 are like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to play press man coverage on Tyreek Hill with a single high safety. And Mahomes, you see him look to the left, and you can almost see him like, what the crap are they doing? Like, you almost see it. Like you almost see him like, it's like he wanted to gesture at them and look at the defense and go, guys, come on. So, you know, he audibles like, well, I'm just going to throw it up to you because you're faster than that, dude. The guy who is covering him ran a 4.640. Like, what? It was just the most bizarre series of events. And you saw, I mean, that's just what happens. The only reason things weren't much worse is because Quinnen Williams, who really should just stay in Kansas City.
Good. Yeah, don't get on the plane.
He's so good. He's like a Chris Jones carbon copy. Like the way they move, their weird strength. Like if it weren't for him, they give up another couple touchdowns there probably because he made a few big plays on his own. But that I think what we saw here is what happens when defenses stop cheating and don't have great personnel. Like you've got to cheat deep on the Chiefs unless you have excellent pass rush and good coverage guys.
I'm glad that you mentioned the interception thing also, because and this is Nate and I just did TV together and we talked about it, and then I did the 8:10 post game show and talked about it. So I feel like I'm in reruns, but I'm assuming we're talking to new people now.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes this year has one interception in 284 pass attempts. That's insane. Like those are the Aaron Rodgers numbers that, you know, that Seth refers to from his like absolutely just a hurricane inside a tornado inside of a tsunami year. But the interesting thing is, like, last year, Mahomes was averaged 8.8 air yards per attempt across the regular season last year. And he obviously had some injuries also in that mm-hmm. he was dealing with for pretty much the entire season. This year, before today's game, and I'll have to update this later, but before today's game, he was averaging 7.4 intended air yards per attempt. Completed air yards per attempt is 5.7 to last year's 6.5. It dropped a little bit, but it didn't include today's game where that number is going to go up as about as much as you can, because 47 of those throws, a lot of them were going downfield. I imagine it's going to be more than 7.5 yards per attempt. He is as accurate and mistake-free as the absolute best version you could possibly create of Alex Smith or whatever with the downfield's wherewithal of the best version of Aaron Rodgers you can come up with. Like, I think we're so rightfully obsessed with the big plays and all of that that it almost doesn't even register that he just doesn't turn the ball over. That even like it's throughout wild. His MVP season, like we were like, oh well, you know, he'll turn the ball over a few times, which is fine because he's crushing it, still throwing for 50 touchdowns and 12 picks. He threw 5 last year. He's thrown 1 halfway through this season. Like it's just. Turnovers are so important, obviously, in the NFL, and it's so hard to have this much volume as a passer and that little turnover. He's thrown interceptions, not counting today's game, on 0.4% of his pass attempts.
I mean, it's wild, just because most of the time he's really, really good within the framework of knowing where pressure's coming from, but as Andy kind of alluded to today, Andy Reid was like, yeah, we give him the RPO. Guess what? He made the right decision every time today. I can't, like, if the pass wasn't completed, there's something else. But, like, the coverage suggests, yeah, you should pull the ball back, throw the football. And based on the way that they were playing, as Seth alluded to, he's just, I know there's a term of, like, what passes are interceptable. But he's even low in that percentile. Not, you know, obviously including today's game. I just, like, we thought he was going to be a gunslinger. We were told he was going to be a gunslinger. We said high risk, high reward. It's all a falsehood, kids. Like, he's better at this than anybody who's ever done this in this short of a season. And that includes you, Troy Aikman.
Oh, jeez.
I'm over here minding my own business.
See, you know what? If we had the cameras on, we would have known that Josh walked away. All of you lovely listeners, just know we had our first shot at like doing like a full-fledged Zoom thing and like really personally connecting,
yeah,
staring into each other's eyes while we talked about the Chiefs. And Josh was like, nah.
I think it would make the show worse. I think we would see Danielle falling asleep 15 minutes into the show. She's out right now. And you would see, like, we would see whenever you were tweeting someone, we'd see you typing. Like, Nate would just be getting very animated. I'd be playing, you know, Animal Crossing on the Switch, and you guys would see me do that all the time.
I think the part where it would fall apart is like if you and I started bickering about something.
Because the look on our faces would be too much.
Yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. So we agree that Nate is adult enough to do it. And other people on this podcast.
I just think it would be weird. Like, we've figured out how to do this just strictly audio, and now adding a video element, I just think would be disconcerting.
You know what? I too fear human contact.
But like, here's the thing. Right now, I'm watching whatever DiNucci is playing quarterback for the Cowboys. I'm looking over my left shoulder. You would think that I'm like not engaged in listening. I am, but instead of looking at you on the screen,
that's true.
I'm looking.
You're protecting us from hurt feelings.
I'm protecting you from how distractible I am, which honestly I should probably do something about.
I've had supper with you. I know.
Yeah.
It's just. Yeah. Hey, right here.
Over here. Hey, Josh.
Yeah, come here. Start waving a burnt end in front of you. That would work on me.
Yeah, what I'm afraid of is what happened if you would like throw it. If I would just go like chase it down, I don't know.
Well, it's a burnt end. I'd chase it. Anyway,
I don't want to know that.
Those things are amazing. Not all of us get to live in Kansas City, guys. I miss barbecue so much. Anyway, about Mahomes. So I know, you know, something that made the rounds, good friend of the show, Ben Baldwin, who's a great analytics guy. He posted something about, you know, interceptable passes. And I responded, you know, kind of joking around, and Chiefs Kingdom took offense because the reality is, you know, Wilson's throwing more picks than Mahomes, like four times more. But, you know, he's throwing fewer supposed, you know, interceptable passes. So, you know, it's kind of the argument we've heard about Mahomes every year. You notice that? It's like, well, you know, he throws all these potential picks. At a certain point, how many years does he have to play before people are going to say, there's obviously something going on here as to why he doesn't have more picks? And one theory that I have is a lot of his interceptable passes, because I chart that, you know, potential picks, it matters, right? A quarterback shouldn't get credit for a defender dropping an interception.
Like, he shouldn't get blamed for, which I think has happened to Russell Wilson, like a receiver handing the ball to the defensive back.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Like, that's not, that, there's a reason why I chart things, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't just, you know, look at the stat sheet, because that stuff misses itself. However, one thing that this idea of interceptable passes misses is that with Mahomes, the situation where you see them, like, for example, the pick against the Raiders, right? His one interception. One, Kelce ran the wrong route. At least that's what he's saying. He's the one who did it. I don't know if it was the receiver who did it. Someone ran the wrong route.
He brought that up again.
Give them the news they need to hear, the analysis. Even the one pick by Patrick Mahomes was not Mahomes' fault.
It wasn't. And also, it was like 4th and 10. And he had pressure in his face. He had to throw the ball,
yes,
right? The worst thing you can do in that situation is not throw or check down Derek Carr. Which, you know what? That's not fair. Derek Carr has bragging rights right now over the Chiefs. He played a great game, so never mind. My hat's off to you, Derek Carr. So the one pick that he's thrown, that really wasn't on, you know, it's 4th and long. You have to throw the ball, and you got to just hope someone makes a play and maybe don't run two routes to the exact same spot, which is what they did. A lot of his actual interceptable passes, though, I would say at least half of them have been on dead plays where, you know,
they jump off sides.
And Mahomes is just like, and I think another one of them at least was one where I think he thought he had a dead play, but that's neither here nor there. You've seen a couple of these. The only time he throws these types of passes, generally speaking, like any other quarterback, he might throw something a little inaccurate or maybe miss a guy underneath. That happens to him really rarely, but what usually happens is it's an obvious miscommunication, right? He thinks that someone's running to the corner. They run a post and it like bounces off the safety's face, right? And it's unbelievable that he can be as aggressive as he is, but it's almost always at the right time. And the only time he even starts to take risks at this point is when he has to. And I'm curious if maybe that's going to result in us maybe seeing the end of, you know, 50, 60 touchdown seasons, especially with the way that Mahomes is played now by defenses. But it makes him a more efficient, better quarterback. And it's been crazy to watch this year. Like, he's just playing at a level that no one else is touching.
The one thing, you use the word risk, which I think, I mean, I understand what you're saying there, but the amazing thing is that he's taken fewer risks without being significantly less aggressive. And that was one thing that I don't think any of us on this show did this, just to be like super clear. And frankly, I don't think a lot of people did this, but I think there was at least a little bit of a feeling through the first seven games of like, oh, well, Mahomes hasn't been as aggressive downfield or whatever, because they've had other stuff available. And there was never a doubt, obviously, that if deep shots were the thing the defense was offering, that the Chiefs would take them. I think some people may have wondered, what happens if it's neutral? What happens if lots of things are available? Will you take the easy short stuff, little chunks at a time, if you could basically pick apart, let's say, I don't know, one of the worst defenses in football on a winless team halfway through the year? If you're going up against that defense and you're pretty sure you have three guys that are open, is Mahomes going to take the mid-range, the check down, or take the deep shot? The thing that I loved about today's game is there were a lot of those situations, it seemed like, and Mahomes kept taking the deep shots. So if you had one iota of concern about what would happen, if, you know, is Mahomes being rewired to be more concerned? No. No, he's not. No, he wasn't. No, he's still Patrick Mahomes.
Right. And he's smart enough to know, too, the calculation in his head. And this was kind of what I wanted to get to as much as I could before the season started, when I did the long story on him, was just like, your mind is different than everybody else. Like, I can see it in the film. I can see it in the decision making that he does. Obviously, we talked about Wasp extensively, but he's so good at the idea of, okay, this is the situation, this is the play call. Which, by the way, already gives him an advantage, because, I don't know, Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy are kind of like, I don't know, good at this. he's already got the skillful players, I should say. So there's no concern there. It's literally just finding the matchup and exploiting it to the highest degree. And so when he makes an audible today that involves, I guess, Rolex now is the word. There'll be a new word next week. he can execute it at a high level, where it's just like, okay, I'm okay being great in the red zone, and if the Jets don't want me to be great in the red zone, I'll be great from midfield. Like, he's so, like, it's hard to really quantify just how good he is, and at the same time know that his brain is understanding everything at just a higher level, because he's been given every advantage the moment he came to be the starter, and it's only improved from here. And now he's saying quotes, y'all, that are outrageous to people such as me who have covered sports for quite a while. These quotes sound nice on face value, but then I have to type them out and then I read them back to myself and I'm like, like, he's kind of started letting things slip out, and it's okay and it's cool, because I asked the question. Patrick kind of knows where I'm getting at. And then he says the thing that, like, is completely honest. He's completely aware that it's honest. And he wants you to know that it's honest. And, you know, the various teams in the league. He said a quote today, y'all. And you may have, you know, addressed this on the postgame show, Josh. But Patrick Mahomes says, we have the team that can go get whatever we want to get. He's not playing, y'all.
Mm-mm.
He's not.
That's just true.
We have the team to get whatever we want when we want it. What? Who says this?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
It's that I like that. I hadn't really thought about that, that lately, you know, he's letting a little bit more out. Now, if anyone, you know, really follows up too much, it's going to become, well, you
we're
know.
We're just trying to be successful, have success.
Yeah, we're just trying to be successful. Yeah. Yeah, every single day. It's about showing up every single day and working hard.
Every single day.
Every single day. And hey, look, maybe I need to start trying harder every single day. And I would have more success. But it is interesting. And he's not wrong. And I do think you see occasionally, I think back to their comeback last year against the Lions, which is a weird sentence to say out loud.
Mm-hmm. What a great game that gets missed. Week 4, can't forget it.
Yeah, that game happened 7 years ago. Like that, Tyler Palco played in that game.
And it was the first time that that Byron Pringle like flashed a little. Keeps doing it. Anyway, one thing that he said when they were about to get on the field, you saw him like take a breath. And I remember watching this on like the mic'd up or whatever it was. And he like took a breath because like it was almost like he wanted to yell. Because every now and then you see it kind of slip through like that he is a perfectionist and he is competitive and he wants to like when he took that hit last week, where the one that caused, oh man, I'm going to say his name wrong again. Assembly.
Nailed it.
To say, you know, 15 can't get hit like that. Mm-hmm. You saw the irritation in his face, right? Mm-hmm. And so in this moment against the Lions, as they're about to get on the field trying to make a comeback, you almost see that moment where he wants to like shake guys, be like, guys, come on. And what he said was, all we have to do is be ourselves.
Mm-hmm. I remember this moment, yes.
And I think he is cognizant. He's a smart dude. And he is cognizant of the fact that they really do have the talent to do whatever they want. Against most teams. Now, there's some teams that might give them some problems, but against most teams, they can really do whatever they want. And even against the really good teams, their own mistakes are as serious as what the other team does. And I think that that's something he's really starting to try to push on the team is like, guys, we just have to do it. Like, it's totally within their control. Mm. And understanding that, I think, will allow them to, rather than having to focus on the opponent, and, you know, obviously you're going to focus on, like, scheme and opponent's players and where to be and that kind of stuff. But it kind of gives you a certain amount of control.
Yeah.
And I think in life as well as in football, deciding that you have control over what happens, I mean, in real life, that's something of a lie at times.
You just did a pastor turn is what just happened. You went, yeah. The Chiefs know that they're in control. And if you, as soon as you accept that Jesus Christ is in control, you're like, whoa, I got whiplash. Like, I got zapped back. I was 14 in youth group all of a sudden. That was wild.
Well, I mean, that's true, but that's for another day. look, I, you know, no.
It was such a pivot.
It is a pivot. Well, you know, look, the pastor comes out every now and then in me where it's like, you know, this actually really applies to an overarching life point.
You want to say something about the Old Testament? Just get that out of the way.
Oh, you know what? I really would. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Those Israelites were on the edge of the Red Sea. They were like, what are we going to do? He's like, guys,
Red Sea, relax. Back to the Chiefs offense, full circle.
Exactly. And so I think when you are in a position the Chiefs are, because not all teams could be like this, because some teams just don't control this stuff because they're not good enough. Whereas when you start to take responsibility and say, well, no, really, we can go as far as we choose to, and then everything you do becomes intentional and everything you do becomes a choice. And I think if you look at Patrick Mahomes' life, you see that. His football career, he could have been a really good quarterback without doing the things that he's done. and like working as hard as he has, but he's choosing to. And I think he's trying to, that's the real footprint he's starting to leave on the team. Now, that's just a theory, but I see quotes from him and I really think he's trying to implement that on these guys. Like, today is a great day to be great. Or, you know, he always says stuff like that, right? It's a good day to dominate. Like, let's go out there and be ourselves. Let's go out there and dominate. I really like that attitude from him rather than, you know, let's just do our best. It's like, no, let's dominate. And I like that.
So after the Buffalo game, it was my kicker quote. Patrick Mahomes said, quote, "If teams are going to play us like this, you're going to see us run the football. We have the guys to do it," which obviously meant Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to get 161 rushing yards, basically at will, to prevent the deep ball. After the game in Baltimore, he said, quote, "Coach Reed is never going to be stagnant. He's going to keep putting in more and more plays. That's what makes it fun. You get in there and it's not the same game plan. We honestly have a new game plan from top down every single week." Like, he's sharing things in a way that is, one, great for fans, you know, good for my job. Keep it coming, Pat. And is a true acknowledgement of, I've already won. I know what it takes to win. And I'm going through the journey right now of trying to become back-to-back champions, which is, again, very, very rare in the NFL. And I'm okay sharing with you every step of the way how we're doing this or why we're performing the way we're performing, despite the fact that history suggests you shouldn't be this good coming off of a Super Bowl win, regardless of a global pandemic occurring. So it's wild, but he won't say it. So I'm going to say it for him. Patrick Mahomes is better than Russell Wilson. He's better than Aaron Rodgers. He's better than insert any quarterback you want to name playing football right now. He the MVP. They're 7-1. And the only reason why they're 7-1 and the only reason why he has a turnover on his record is because A, Travis Kelce ran a route that was very similar to Tyreek Hill, which is why four defenders were in the middle of the field on 4th and 7 with the game on the line and pressure up the middle. And the team still scored 32 points, and it was the one day the Chiefs defense was like, yeah, I guess we're going to give up 40. Like, he's just better at this than everybody else. And it's weird to say, considering that, you know, there's really, really talented football players in this league. Like, extremely good, Hall of Fame worthy players. Tom Brady is still somehow defeating age, but he ain't as good as Patrick Mahomes. He's never been as good as Patrick Mahomes is. And we just need to acknowledge that 8 games into the season.
I'm not going to fight you.
No, so let's take the defense side now, because Patrick Mahomes is really good and the Chiefs offense is really good. Hold on, I'm going to do this real quick. Every Chiefs fan, Travis Kelce's parents. I don't think anybody actually gives Travis Kelce his rightful due as being as incredibly dominant as he is. And I'm saying that about all three of us, because I just think I forget sometimes. Like, he's unstoppable and also does it in like 7 different ways every time. Like, he's literally, unless he decides to run the wrong route and runs in the Tyreek Hill, as we just mentioned. He was incredible today, and it was like a yawn, like, 8 receptions, 109 yards, a touchdown on a little bowling play at the goal line. Yeah, long of 25. Yeah, all right. Okay, yep. No, it's just another Travis Kelce. Like, he's just that. He's that as often as the Chiefs want to get it, and it's unbelievable.
It's wild.
There are a couple of things on the offensive side, actually, we should still talk about. So if anyone else wants to talk about how good Travis Kelce is, I think by the time he retires, if he's not unanimously considered the best tight end of all time, he's going to be getting first place votes, which also is funny because he might not get all the first place votes for the best Chiefs tight end of all time, which is just sort of a funny thing about this franchise.
Travis Kelce is going to end up in every given year that he was in the league, people thinking that he's the second best tight end.
Yeah, it's infuriating. It's absolutely bonkers.
That's what people are always going to say, because, you know, early on was Gronk. And look, peak Gronk, unbelievable. And then George Kittle, great tight end. But, you know, I can't help but notice that when Travis Kelce, and we talked about this before the game, when Travis Kelce needed to line up as a flipping fullback, mm-hmm. he could do it. Mm-hmm. He can do anything mm-hmm. on the football field. But what he does best, and what Andy Reid has him do, because Andy Reid is smart, is not line up and take on defensive ends, because why would you do that when you have one of the best 5 receivers in the NFL? And anyone who doesn't think Travis Kelce is one of the best five receivers in the NFL, I'm talking tight ends, wide receivers, whatever, just drop that Benjamin on Game Pass. Spend that 100 bones. I think a bone is actually $1,000. I don't know. Anyway, I don't do well with lingo. That's what I get for that. So drop that 100 bucks on Game Pass and watch the Chiefs play on all 22 because Travis Kelce is always open.
I think you saying top five receiving targets or whatever in the NFL, I think that's the way we should be talking about him and not like
yeah.
one of the two best tight ends. Like, no, he's like, I think the Chiefs probably have two of the like seven best receiving weapons. And the fact that I expanded that to include Tyreek Hill, which also Seth, you wrote about in the Chief of the North newsletter, it's already out right now about how good Tyreek Hill is. If I could only have one target to give to Patrick Mahomes, like if I had to lock one up, I think I might pick Travis Kelce, and I also understand that Tyreek Hill is the perfect receiver for Patrick Mahomes, and that's how highly I think of Travis Kelce. Like, I just, he's unbelievable. That's my hot take.
I would say that, given the situation, you should probably target Travis Kelce more, because Travis Kelce has the most receptions thrown by Patrick Mahomes. And look, you know, you kind of need more things to go right for a deep shot to Tyreek Hill. We don't need to expand on that, but you kind of need more things to go right. Travis Kelce, 9 out of 10 times is always open.
He's always there. Like, we've seen a little bit these last few weeks, and this is not in any way a criticism of Tyreek Hill at all.
Who had a great game today. Woo!
Who was incredible.
He was running some routes that were making dudes look pedestrian.
And like, the way that we've seen teams treat the Chiefs the last couple of weeks, I think that You can see a defense sell out to account for Tyreek Hill, not contain him, but to account for him. I don't think that any team in the NFL actually takes Travis Kelce out of the game, except for maybe the Patriots, who unclip their helmets and beat Travis Kelce with them like a club, like Myles Garrett does. Like, that's the only defense.
It's going to be incredible. A wild January. That's all I'm going to say. Josh, yeah. It's going to be a wild January if everybody, you know, stays who they are.
And you're right, again, Tyreek Hill was incredible today, and Seth wrote about it up in the Chief of the North newsletter. The running game was a total non-factor, like just factually. But through three quarters, I think the final number was the Chiefs had run the ball 9 times for 18 yards.
Yep.
Just a non-starter, which again makes me feel good because if the question has ever been, you know, again, what happens in a neutral situation where the Chiefs can choose how they want to win, they probably could have run the ball 40 times in this game and beaten the Jets by a similar margin. They still threw the ball 47 times with 4 from Chad Henne and 1 from Tommy Townsend. And Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 42 times, and they were killing it that way. So why run the ball? It's the less efficient way to move the ball. That's not a hot take. That's just true. I think Seth is currently gone, so Nate, if you'd like to expand on that, you can. I think Seth just disappeared like Batman.
Can we acknowledge that, because I also wrote this, can we acknowledge that Tommy Townsend was the second best quarterback in Arrowhead today?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the most important, I think my favorite stat is that Sam Darnold was clearly fourth.
Like, go ahead, young Seth.
No, Seth's back. Poor Sam Oof. Darnold. He made a few throws where it's like, you know what? I could see it.
He's gonna go back up a better quarterback somewhere, and then he's gonna start 6 games when that guy gets hurt, and then some team is gonna sign him as like he's gonna be Nick Foles somewhere, and he'll probably deserve it. I would like for Sam Darnold to get a decent team and a real coach.
Yeah, it would be nice to see. It's just impossible to gauge anyone there. I really seriously, after watching the Chiefs mollywop the Jets, I'm reiterating my call for the Chiefs to make an offer on Quinnen Williams and just tell them, like, guys, what else are you going to do? Like, you know, it's not going to work out. Let's be honest. So I that would be, it'd be hard to not sound really condescending making that call. But no, the Chiefs defense made Darnold look downright mediocre after halftime, which is another indictment on Adam Gase in that, you know, he's an offensive guy and his offense always looks worse after the half. Like,
yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, that is bad.
And the Chiefs kind of they got some stuff done in coverage. They didn't get as much pressure as I would have liked.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier. Let's expand on that a little bit, because I think I think it's not ridiculous to say that. I mean that. Well, I'm going to say it in a super unridiculous way. I think it's totally fair to say the Chiefs' pass rush has been underachieving for the money they've put into it, essentially. If we take the financial aspect away, to just say Frank Clark and Chris Jones on the same defensive line, they have not pressured what you would expect from what I think at least the Chiefs would argue is a top five interior pass rusher and a top five edge rusher.
And knowing that Sam Darnold is not the most escapable quarterback in the league. I mean, the pushback that they'll give is, hey, you know, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen and Deshaun Watson, but
they had Herbert in his debut, and
he was comfortable for large stretches of that game.
And Derek Carr took his time. Yep. Like, I think they got Hoyer, but it was Brian Hoyer. Like,
and he got sacked twice.
So it wasn't a six sack game or anything. Sorry, Seth.
And look, there's a lot more that goes into the game than stats.
Yep.
But it's at least worth noting that, I mean, after today, because this stat didn't change today, Frank Clark has three sacks. Mm. And, you know, before today he had, I mean, what we're looking at here, six hits on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And look, Clark, he sets a good edge. I haven't charted his snaps, so maybe he's winning a bunch and I'm missing it. But during the games, even the last few weeks, I guess I would just say, and I think I've stumped for Clark pretty hard here. But this year, considering that he's healthy,
more healthy than we believe he was last year at this point.
Right. And yeah, and so maybe there's something going on. But he's back to not necessarily looking like he's rushing with as much strength as he was. And he's had a few games where he looked great. I mean, he's played really well in some of these games, including some important games. Like, I mean, he was huge against Baltimore.
He was really he and Chris were at their peak in Baltimore.
Yeah. But like Chris Jones, I would say week in and week out, I'm still noticing him hitting the quarterback multiple times.
Yeah.
But I'm just not seeing quite as much from Clark. It's just something, you know, just to kind of put a pin in there, just to kind of keep an eye out on it, because it's interesting. Because to be the vocal leader that he is, and to be the world-class trash talker that he is, and to kind of get away with being that way with his teammates and all that stuff, you do have to put out. You know, you have to perform. And I'm not saying he's not, but it's just something to keep an eye on.
One thing that's kind of interesting that I don't know if this is going to explain it by any means, but like you mentioned Chris Jones, right? He's got 4.5 sacks, and like he hit Sam Darnold's arm on a pass. I think he hit Sam Darnold in like two of his first three passes or something, straight out of the gate today. But I think that's to some extent a little indicative of the positions they play, because if you win up the middle, it's going to impact the quarterback. Yes. Like, there's a little more you can do to neutralize a defensive end, which I think would go back to a conversation we've had and we'll probably continue to have about what you do with, you know, high-paid defensive ends or, in you know, edge rushers in general and all that. That's not explaining even half of it, but like I think it's really, really hard for Chris Jones to be playing well and you not to notice. And I think that's not necessarily true about edge rushers for the most part.
And that might be true, but I gotta tell you, you know, when the Chiefs have played you know, the Bosas,
for sure. Absolutely.
When you watch a game with Khalil Mack, when you watch a game, you see those guys, and there's a reason why usually the top 10 guys in sacks every year, you'll probably have like maybe Donald and Jones in there, but the rest are edge rushers.
No, that's absolutely true. You're right. That's totally fair.
But you do make a good point. And so maybe they're swiping from one another a little bit too, in terms of, you know, what would have gotten there. And I think you're absolutely right. And it makes you talk about, you know, where resources can be allocated. But he just, with Clark, earlier in the season, I was noticing him during games. And this is super, this is not good analysis. You know, don't, it's just not.
I mean, like, it's anecdotal, but I was going to use the word notice also. Like, I think that collectively we can say that There are yeah. stretches of the game where you kind of forget Frank Clark is out there, like you forget that Taco Charlton's out there. And honestly, sometimes Taco Charlton shows up, like, and you're like, oh yeah, there's Taco Charlton. Nice to have him back out there.
You don't want to do that's really similar to what I'm. Yeah, that man, you said that better than I did. Yeah. Well done.
We eventually get there. Sometimes our powers combine.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
the secondary today is it's that might be one of the tougher units to actually evaluate because they're just more talented than all of the Jets pass catchers. No offense to Braxton Berrios, Nate. I don't want to catch.
He was the only guy today. Showed up with one receiver off the bus. Like, if I mean, Jameson Crowder was out. Who was it? Was it Perryman that was out too? My man showed up with one receiver. Off the bus! He didn't have a tight end! Like,
do you know Braxton Berrios' stat line? Because I just saw it and it made me laugh into the microphone.
Nobody! What other than Braxton Berrios?
I'm going to tell you how many targets and receptions he had. I want you to tell me how many yards you think he had. He had 8 receptions on 11 targets. How many yards do you think that's?
I'm looking this up, so give it to Seth because I see it and it makes me hurt.
I mean, with that, with 8 receptions, I'd say at least 80. Oof.
And so I would also add his longest was 15 yards. Oof. Like, that's a pretty. He had 8 for 34. How does that? Did he have one? Did he lose a bunch? I think he had like one behind the line of scrimmage or something.
There was one jet sweep, which tells you the difference between, you know, very good athlete in Braxton Berrios and Mecole Hardman. Mecole Hardman takes a jet sweep to the house. Braxton Berrios gets a jet sweep. Nobody blocks Tyrann Mathieu, and he's like, guys. I can't run anywhere as soon as I catch the ball, a dude's literally in my face. So I know one play was a complete negative because Tyrann Mathieu diagnosed the play and blew it up immediately on the jet sweep. But I mean, Braxton Berrios was out here trying to get yards, being covered by Tyrann Mathieu, and God bless him. Sam Darnold was out here like, I have no other options. You know what, Braxton? You get the ball again against Tyrann Mathieu. What are we doing, Adam Gase? Why are we even showing up on the field? Like, he had no weapons other than Braxton Berrios, who's like slightly, maybe slightly, like 14th slot receiver in the league. Like, and that's saying something, given how Braxton Berrios is not like the most physically freak of nature athlete, but it's always been good, even as Leesville Rose High School's own in Raleigh, North Carolina. Anyway, the dude had no help. And so, I'm looking at you, Trevor Lawrence.
You had a gym, Trevor. Don't you blame Braxton for this. This is not Braxton's fault.
I'm looking at you, Trevor Lawrence. Sir, it is time to start the campaign. For it can't go back. Nope. Can't go back. I can't go back, and I can't go there either. No. No, sir. You find a way to get on. You, sir, find a way to get on another team. Okay? I don't care what it takes. But Sam Darnold got off a bus against the defending champions and had one legitimate receiver today.
Woo! Adam Gase can't be there much longer. That's got to stop. I mean, you don't want Greg Williams to be the head coach either, so maybe you just let Gase get 16. I don't know, man. Sam Darnold went back. He hurt it. He re-injured his shoulder. He sent him back out there instead of putting in respectable NFL quarterback Joe Flacco. Ugh. Formerly respectable quarterback Joe Flacco. And then didn't let Sam Darnold go 4th on 4th down. You know what, guys? I'm going to say it. I know this is really brave and probably controversial, and I don't know if this is going to be kind of my new, like, Troy Aikman thing, but I don't think Adam Gase is a very good coach.
Wow. Yeah. That is brave.
I know. I know I'm, like, the only one saying, but I'm kind of a contrarian sometimes that way, and, like, it's just kind of part of my brand at this point. I don't think he's very good.
I've added him to my list of people where my thought is he must be unbelievable in interviews and meetings.
That's also kind of hard to believe, though, whenever you, like, see him talk.
But there's got to be something. It's either that or, like, what, blackmail?
No, he pulls a Polaroid. He pulls a Polaroid out of his wallet, and it's a picture of him arm in arm with Peyton Manning. And they're like, yeah, sure, job's yours.
Yeah, it's so bad there, man. And, like, my fear is that, you know, you're going to end up with one of these. It looks like there's a few, maybe even four, awesome quarterbacks coming out this year. Mm-hmm. You got a couple with more questions because they're, you know, lower level at the college tier. Mm-hmm. Although I will fight to the death, this Minnesota guy will fight to the death that NDSU is not lower tier anything. Because everyone's like, have Alabama play him. It's like, does Alabama want the smoke? Okay, no, Alabama would want the smoke. Okay, they would.
So I think if Alabama wanted it, they'd get it. So I don't...
Yeah, they would get it. But I'm just saying no one should ever play... no one should ever play NDSU.
No, that's, like, totally fair.
These upper tier teams, it's like, you know what we ought to do? We're a top 25 team. Let's open up against NDSU. It's like, yeah, but why? Because when they run us out of the building, we're going to be embarrassed. And they're going to go back to Fargo, North Dakota, laughing and taking our money. Anyway, my fear for any of these quarterbacks is that Adam Gase is going to be able to convince ownership that he just needs a quarterback.
They can't. And they can't. There's no way. That can't happen.
That can't happen.
They'd have to relegate them. They can't. Roger Goodell would have to fire Adam Gase himself. That can't happen.
Yeah, because we can't have... Trevor Lawrence is the league's hope for someone that might be as good as Mahomes. And I don't think he's going to be, for what it's
worth.
But if
he plays with Adam Gase, he's definitely not going to be.
Yeah. Look, if he's as good as Mahomes playing with Adam Gase, that would indicate that he is Thanos with all the Infinity Stones.
That's right.
Because there's just no other way to do it. So, no, it was this, man, overall, seriously, this is a great game. This is a lot of fun.
It was fun.
I needed, the last 2 weeks have been, like, kind of relaxing.
Yeah, it's just fun. Mm-hmm. It's not even week. Yeah. It's not week 13. It's not Thanksgiving. Yeah.
It's not week 13. Although I really wish the Ravens would have done the world a favor and beaten the Steelers to where, you know, now the Chiefs got to count on the Steelers stumbling. And
their schedule is not hard.
There's still games to be played, fellas. There's still games.
There's a lot of games. We're halfway there.
Well, look, they're not going undefeated.
What are you talking
about? I mean, that's just not how the NFL works.
They were a field goal away in Nashville from, what, going to overtime?
Which, by the way, can someone check on the Titans, please? Because
and you know, Lamar Jackson had a shot today. Well, he actually had a couple shots based on what I saw in the fourth.
He had a couple shots.
He had a couple in the fourth quarter. Yeah. Lamar hurt his Lamar versus Mahomes conversation.
I just found out the Broncos beat the Chargers.
Yep.
What?
Look, I love. Now, speaking of coaches, can we get Anthony Lynn one more year? Just one more year, but everything else has got to change. Because even Justin Herbert can't fix this, y'all. Maybe it wasn't Phillip Rivers' fault all this time. Maybe Phillip Rivers was just in a terrible situation. Because, you know, the Colts are, like, respectably good and not losing. Like, Phillip Rivers isn't down by 4 with less than 2 minutes to go with no timeouts every week. But, like, how?
Yeah.
Like, Justin Herbert is like, the rookie of the year. Yeah. Oh, I just... But we got to keep Anthony Lynn. Don't do it to Anthony Lynn. But
he's a good coach,
but why are they losing all these close games?
The Broncos scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to the Chargers 6 and won that game by 1.
There were three
touchdowns and 2 field goals in that fourth quarter.
They're still half a season, y'all.
They scored with no time left. All right, I got to figure out what happened in this game later. Sorry, I legit found out that's how that game ended.
But all of this is to say, though, is that the AFC is still, like, the records may, like, the standings, I guess is the better way to say this. The standings may say one thing. It's a completely other thing. Like, what Pittsburgh is doing is really, really legitimate because they're good. They're not the Chiefs. Let's be fair. The Bills have kind of gotten a little bit back on track. Give them a shout out. The Raiders. Hey, Sunday night, couple weeks. I just saying, like, that might be doomsday. But there's fun teams in the AFC. The Colts are maybe making the playoffs. I don't know. All I know is I want to see Chiefs Steelers in January because they won't play in the regular season, of course. But the Ravens will get another shot. The Steelers may get a shot. I know the Carolina Panthers will have 10 days to prepare for the Chiefs. They will still probably lose. I know we'll cover that extensively in the next show. But we all need to start circling our calendars for mid-November in Las Vegas, prime time.
I honestly, the Broncos had 4th and 4 at the 18, and they got defensive pass interference. They got one untimed down where they snapped the ball with 0 seconds on the clock from the 1 yard line, and Drew Lock threw a touchdown pass. That game must have been crazy. I was not watching. Did not know that happened. Been working since,
yeah,
since
we
the Chiefs game.
We've all been working and grinding on this lovely Saturday in early November, just 2 days from the world changing potentially
because of the NFL trade deadline.
Of course,
Nate, what do you think the Chiefs do on this very important historic Tuesday?
Answer every phone and say, no, stop calling about Patrick Mahomes. Just stop. Guys, you're wasting my time and yours. I don't think the Chiefs will do anything. I know that doesn't excite anyone, but I don't think they should do anything. I know Josh feels differently, so does Seth, but like,
they just won 2 games by like a combined 60.
I'm not sweating. I don't think they're going to do anything. I wanted them to trade for a corner for 3 years. And so like at this point, like I'm not getting a pony for Christmas. I get it.
You already got a Clydesdale in the backyard. The pass defense is one of the best in the league.
It's good. For now. It's good. Was Clydesdale not a pun about the running back they drafted? Because that would have been really funny.
That would have been, but you're giving me way too much credit there.
No, I mean, I just always sort of like half want them to trade for a corner. I don't expect them to. And right now it's fine. I'm good with it at this point, but I don't expect
Patrick Peterson.
Always. Let's dust that off again. I've wanted them to trade for Patrick Peterson since like 2004 at this point.
Watch what the Baltimore Ravens do. Not in the league, because they've been the most aggressive team in the AFC. They made a couple moves. Mm-hmm. They know that they're not playing from full advantage in terms of both their divisional rival, the Steelers, and the team they're trying to chase the most, Chiefs. So I think the deadline from a Chiefs perspective is most interesting when seeing how the rest of the league may shift just a little bit based on some moves in the AFC to impact potentially January. But I don't think the Chiefs are going to do anything. They need draft picks. Mm-hmm. I think Clark Hunt is like, how much money are we spending on Patrick Mahomes? Right. Cost-effective players via draft picks. Can't give those up.
Yeah. I think that's the show. I think we did it. Is everybody good?
Yeah.
Great. I just want to make sure there wasn't anything else we needed to cover. We talked about running backs for like 30 seconds whenever you left, Seth, and I think we're probably fine there. And next week's Panthers week. So I think we did it.
Yeah.
You're right. This game was
better
fun.
Offense than people think. That'll be interesting.
This was like we've had some of those dominant games that have been like just sort of like, oh yeah, they look good. Yeah, they're really good at football. This was fun just because it was sort of the like, bleep it kind of dominant game of just bombs after bombs. And I enjoyed this game very much. So
That's it. That's the end of the show. You can follow all of us on Twitter at RealMNChiefsFan, at by Nate Taylor, at JB Briscoe, all on Twitter. You can check out both of their work up on The Athletic. You can also get more from Seth and the Chief from the North newsletter. And if you're not subscribed to The Athletic yet, you can go to theathletic.com/timesours and try it all out for $1 a week. Theathletic.com/timesours. All right, we did it. Go vote if you haven't. Hopefully you did. I haven't yet because I live in Missouri and they don't want me to vote early. They want me to wait in lines for a long time. So I'll see some of you on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's it for me. Nate, say something funny or inspiring.
From an inspiring standpoint, there were roughly 16,000 fans at Arrowhead Stadium on Sunday. Will 2020 show us that there were more than 16,000 fans at Arrowhead Stadium on Tuesday to vote in the general election?
What is this voice?
It is my 2020 historical presentation voice via PBS, sponsored by The Athletic, that you can listen to in 2045.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.